Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We have arrived to Friday. Welcome in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to have you with us. As always, if you want to join in on the program, you're able to call, you're able to text, you're able to tweet, you're able to leave voice messages on the Odyssey app. If you call or text, 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And if you want to leave a voice message, you just press the little mic button if you're listening via the Odyssey app. We got a lot of things to get to on the program today. Christian Gray from Notre Dame football, a DeSmet product, had that huge interception in the semifinal game that led to the winning field goal for Notre Dame. Christian is set to join us in about 10 minutes or so, so make sure to be tuned in for that. Next hour, our guy Kevin Wheeler will be with us. We'll talk Cardinals baseball with him. And Michael Hall from the Cardinals, Executive Director of Cardinals Care, he is going to talk with us about what to expect out of winter warm-up coming up this weekend. And just a reminder for you, we are all over winter warm-up. We'll be broadcasting once again from Cardinals Nation Restaurant inside of Ballpark Village. Our broadcast day begins tomorrow. I'm going to be there from 10 to 1:15 tomorrow. What a great sports day we have tomorrow here at KMOX. We're going to do winter warm-up from 10 to 1:15. Then we're going to jump into SLU basketball. And then we're going to jump into Chiefs football. That's our broadcast day tomorrow. That's pretty darn good. That's a turn on the radio and break the button off kind of day right there. Saturday will be out at, or I should say Sunday will be out at winter warm-up. It'll start with sports on a Sunday morning with Tom Ackerman, and then Joe Pott will take over after that. And we'll have a little bit of time out there on Monday as well before our coverage of the inauguration is set to begin. So that's what's going to be coming up this weekend. Later on, I always kind of hesitate to do this because it's somewhat presumptuous to just assume that you listen to every single moment of this program and this station. That being said, yesterday we had Rob Serfolio on the Countdown to Opening Day show. We had a long, it was about 40 minutes worth of time with Rob. It was divvied up over four segments over 2 hours. But if you were locked in for the entire 2 hour show yesterday, you heard about 40 minutes of conversation with Rob Serfolio. And I'm kind of curious. This might be self-serving. If it is, I apologize. I'm curious what the response is. That's one of those, the Countdown to Opening Day show isn't really an interactive show. It's not one where we're sitting there taking phone calls and taking text messages and things like that. So here's what I would do. If you were listening yesterday, I hope you were. If you were listening yesterday and you've got a reaction to what Rob Serfolio said here on these KMOX airwaves and across the Cardinals radio network, I'd love for you to text those in or tweet those at me. If you text in, it's 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. I enjoyed the conversation. I really enjoyed the conversation. He comes off to me so well, so well. He is smart. He kind of has a self-deprecation to himself. He's passionate about what he wants to do, and I thought that passion comes out. It was really, and Bernie Miklas and I talked about, no, Kevin Wheeler and I, we'll get into this, but this is not a shot at John Mozeliak. It really is not. It's nice to hear another voice representing the organization. I like John Mozeliak, and I think he's done a better job than people give him credit for. He's not been perfect, and there is culpability to go around. When you look at what has happened over the last couple of years, you can certainly look to Mo and look at decisions that he's made, and the choice that the Cardinals took as long as they did to kind of go into this new era and reset player development and look at things a little bit differently. I'm not sitting here letting Mo off the hook, but he's been doing what he's been doing for a really long time, and I think it's certainly been a lot more good than bad. But you kind of know what to expect when he's talking. He's been doing this for a while. He has been the voice of this team, and I think it's just kind of nice to hear somebody else every once in a while, and that's what we got yesterday with Rob Serfolio. So again, I hope you were listening. If you didn't hear it live, you can always go to the Cardinals Conversations podcast feed at KMOX.com and listen back. Mike Claiborne and myself conducted the interview. You might have to, if you just want to listen to that, you might have to bounce around a little bit because it was like the second and third segment of the first hour, and I think the first and second segment of the second hour. So it's in there, though. And I think the other thing that's really important to remember, and a reason that I want as many Cardinals fans as possible to listen to the Rob Serfolio interview. John Mozeliak was part of the hiring process. He doesn't get his job without approval from John Mozeliak. But he's going to be one of the, you know, right-hand guys for Heim Bloom moving forward. Rob's already working inside Cardinal offices on a everyday basis. Heim Bloom's not quite doing that, although there's constant communication going on with Bloom, from what I understand. But when you think about the direction of this organization and the changes that are going to be happening, are already starting now, but are going to be happening over the next 2-3 years, listening to somebody like Rob Serfolio talk, I think in many ways, the words that come out of his mouth very much represent the direction of the organization in the future. We've not really gotten the opportunity to, you know, publicly talk with Heim Bloom. And I think a lot of that has to do with him. I don't think he wants to overstep when John Mozeliak is still the president of baseball operations. And I understand that. And I think Heim is known as just being a really, really great guy. And I think that goes into it, that he doesn't want to overstep at this point. And we'd love to be able to talk to him a little bit more. And he did just talk to Cardinals Publications and Cardinal Magazine here recently. But if you want to start getting an idea of the thought processes that are going to be taking place inside of the organization for the years moving forward, I think listening to somebody like Rob Serfolio talk, there's a lot of value in that for fans. So I hope you got the chance to hear it. If you did, I'd love to hear your reaction to it. Again, you can text those thoughts in at 314-436-7900 or tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. This isn't even what I was planning. This is a bad job by me. I'm going to open up the curtain for you. Like, I always have a plan of things I want to do on the show. And I was going to open up the show being righteously indignant about the fact that Roky Sasaki is signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I am, and if you listen to me and you know where I stand on things, I don't have a problem with teams spending lots of money. I don't have a problem with the way, you know, the Dodgers do things. I am pro players making lots and lots of money. I think that's a good thing for baseball. I want all teams to spend as much money as they possibly can. You know, it's millionaires versus billionaires. Let the billionaires spend their money and the millionaires can go make their money too. So this is not a, you know, getting angry at the system because the Dodgers are the big market team and the Dodgers have more money than everybody else and they can go spend and just buy a team. Like, this is not me being upset about that. This is me being upset about what the talking points were from Roky Sasaki's camp leading into this decision, where they wanted to tell you, oh, he's going to go to the place that's going to make him the best. Maybe he wants to go to a small market. Maybe he wants to do these things. No. He just wants to go to the Dodgers. He just wants to play for the best team in baseball. Why say all that other junk if it's not true? So I'll get more into that coming up later on. I'm relatively fired up about that. But we are going to switch gears in just a moment. The national championship game is coming up on Monday evening, and there's a St. Louis flair to it. And one of the biggest plays that have been made this year in the playoffs was made by a St. Louisan in Christian Gray, a DeSmet product. He came up with the late interception for Notre Dame in their win against Penn State that eventually led to Notre Dame getting the game-winning field goal. Christian Gray, a DeSmet guy, he's going to join us coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Ball's at their own 28. Quick snap for Aller, looking left. Can't get it out. Now pressure coming. Aller throws. Loose ball. Yes. Intercepted. Christian Gray picks it off at the 42-yard line. Notre Dame will get the ball back with 33 seconds left in the game. What a big-time pick from Christian Gray.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are getting closer and closer to the college football playoff national championship game. Notre Dame is playing, and that means one of St. Louis's own, who had a huge play here recently, going to be involved. Christian Gray, a DeSmet grad. He had the big interception against Penn State. He joins us right now. Christian, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good. Thank you guys for bringing me on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a lot of things to get to, but let's start with that play, that interception, about a minute to go. It sets up the game-winning field goal. Is that your biggest football moment in your life?
I could say it's the start of it, it's the start of it, and it was just a real blessing.
What are you thinking in that moment as you see the ball coming your direction?
To be honest with you, I really didn't think nothing, really. It felt like something took over my body. I thought it was God. And just when I got up, I just saw I caught the ball. So,
and then, can you take me through the emotions of the time after that? Because very shortly thereafter, it's the game-winning field goal, and the team has led to that point because of you. What are you feeling when the clock ticks to zero and you know that you and your teammates are headed to the national championship game?
I started out crying. Like, it was just blessing. It was a long fight, and I'm so happy about it and just everything. It was just a lot of emotions, and then just tears just came out.
I read that your mom can't even watch, that she was there, but basically she couldn't watch what was going on, so she had to be told that you had the interception. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, that's my mom.
So what does she do when she's at games? Can she watch at all? Can she just not watch when you're on the field? What's going on there?
Nah, she can. It's just, she just always pray. We always pray to God. Before games even start, we always have our prayer before the game. I come up to her. We always pray. She always tell me, like, you got this. You good. Like, God's over you. You surrender and everything. And so that's just our routine, and then my mom, she watched the game sometimes, but yeah, she be nervous a little bit.
Yeah, it sounds like that's a great story. That's really, how long have you been doing that with your mom, where you pray before games?
We've been doing this since freshman year of high school, really. So we just kept in the routine.
That's a really, really cool part of this. So how are you guys feeling right now? Like, what's this lead up like, where you know that you're one more win away from being national champions?
It feels great, but the job's not done, and we just still hungry, We still hungry, and we know what we got to do to get this win.
This season has really been interesting for you guys, because you had that tough loss against Northern Illinois early on in the season. To have that kind of loss on the schedule and then to still, go through the gauntlet and find yourself in the national championship game, what does that say about your team that you guys have gone on this kind of run?
What I can say about the team really is that we some savages. We some real savages, And that NIU was just a little wound, a little scratch on us, scratch to us. So, but you keep ripping the skin off the wound, you know what I mean? And we feel the pain every time. Every time we play a game, we have that pain in us, and we just don't want to feel that again. And so what I can really say is that we're kind of blessed for the NIU loss, but, you know, we just came back to it, and just now we're here.
We're talking with Christian Gray, St. Louis, and went to DeSmet, now part of Notre Dame football. Had a huge interception this past weekend. What's it like coaching for a coach or playing for Coach Marcus Freeman? Because just everything that I see from afar, this guy looks like a really, really special coach.
Man, he is a special coach. He relates to the players. He loves the players very much, like we his own kids. So it's just really a blessing, you know, having him as my head coach.
Like I said, you're talking to people in St. Louis right now. You're a St. Louis guy. DeSmet, what do you want to say to people in St. Louis that have hopped on the Notre Dame bandwagon because of you?
Really, I can say is, you know, I love you guys. Love the St. Louis nation, the community, you know, and just go Irish.
Awesome. Well, Christian, we really appreciate you taking some time with us. Congratulations on a great run. So many folks here in St. Louis will be rooting you on in the national championship game. But thank you so much for taking some time with us today.
Thank you guys for having me.
Christian Gray joining us on the program again. He had, man, what a great moment for him. And he said there at the beginning of that conversation that interception is probably the biggest moment of his football life. And I love the story that his mom like can't watch the game. She's in the stands and she can't watch the game because she's so nervous for her son, just wants to be there praying. So good stuff, and we'll see what Notre Dame can do. Ohio State is the overwhelming favorite in this game coming up on Monday night, favored by 8.5 points. We'll see. Notre Dame's on a pretty special run. I think Ohio State's best is better than Notre Dame's best, but Ohio State has also shown the ability to not be at their best, and it's been a while since we've seen that from Notre Dame. Really, you have to go back to that game that they lost against Northern Illinois way back into this 6 weeks into the season when that ended up happening. They didn't play a great schedule, but when they had to win, they won. All they did was win, and now they've faced off against some really good teams in the college football playoff, and they've been able to be victorious against all of them. So always great when we can see some St. Louisans doing big things, and that's what we saw right there with Christian Gray, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. All right, we're going to jump back into baseball. I want to get into this Roky Sasaki thing because I'm just frustrated. I'm very frustrated that he ends up with the Dodgers. And like I said earlier, it has nothing to do with me being anti-spending money and anti-teams trying to do like super teams and things like that. It's more about what the narrative and what the talking points from Sasaki's camp were, and you know, going into this whole process for this to be the result is a frustrating result. I'll explain that coming up in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Kyle's playing like serene music here just to bring me down before I kind of go off a little bit. I'm frustrated. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. And again, I want to repeat this. I never have a problem with teams spending gobs and gobs of money. If they want to go do that, that's fine. I wasn't angry about the Juan Soto contract. I'm not angry when the Dodgers go get Shohei Ohtani and give them all this money and do the deferrals and everything. Like go for it. I like teams that go for it. That's what sports should be about. Sports should be about going for it. Now, I get it. I understand there's going to be restrictions in place and different teams have different restrictions, and that's just the way things are. But I'm never going to kill a team for going for it. Here's why I'm frustrated. Here's why I am frustrated that Roky Sasaki is signing with the Dodgers. It actually has nothing to do with the Dodgers. Nothing to do with the Dodgers. I'm perfectly fine with them going and making a run at Sasaki. Here's where I get frustrated. when the agent for Roki Sasaki, when speaking at the baseball winter meetings, goes on and on and on about how Sasaki isn't about going to a big market. In fact, maybe a smaller market might work out better because he had a bad experience with the media in Japan. There was an issue that happened there. I forget the details of the issue, but something from a personal nature happened, and the media really got on him about it or wasn't completely fair with him. So, you know, his agent talked about he wants to go to a place that's maybe a little bit smaller, a little bit more comfortable, things like that. Wants to go to the team that's going to develop him and make him the best version of himself. All these things. All these nice kind of platitudes about where he wants to go. It doesn't have to necessarily be a team like the Dodgers or a team like the Yankees. No, he can go to a nice little small market team, one that's really, really smart. So then what happens? Because Sasaki's not getting a lot of money here. We don't need to go into the weeds in this because bluntly, you probably don't care. And it's just kind of a complicated aspect. So he left Japan early. If you leave at the time that like a Shohei Ohtani left and some other players leave, essentially you come to Major League Baseball as an unrestricted free agent and teams can pay you as much as they want to pay you. But if you leave early and if you post early, then it's a different situation where essentially you're like an amateur player coming in where you're going to make the major league minimum. You can get a signing bonus, but the signing bonus is restricted to the international bonus pool money that any given organization has. So even signing bonuses are going to be way restricted because nobody's sitting there with, you know, you can't give a $100 million signing bonus to one of these guys because you don't have $100 million in your international money. So it's relatively inexpensive. So Sasaki's going to make, in all likelihood, the major league minimum, and he's going to get a signing bonus. Kyle Sixt and I were talking about this during the break. It seems like it's going to be somewhere between $5 and $10 million. So that's how much he's getting paid. It's an absolute drop in the bucket. It's an amount of money that every team in Major League Baseball can afford. Now, I'm not even like speaking for the Cardinals here. Like the Cardinals were never in on this. They weren't. I'm sure they did their due diligence and they had the early conversations and everything, but they were never mentioned as a legitimate player for Sasaki. Here, sidebar, very quick sidebar. I'll get back onto the main road here in a moment. This does lead back to why it's important on what the Cardinals are doing, because maybe someday the next Roki Sasaki who sits there and says market size isn't the most important thing and you want to go to a team that's going to make you the best version of yourself, blah, 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 blah. Maybe someday that's actually going to be true from somebody because it was a total farce this time. But maybe someday that's going to be true and you want to be that organization that has that reputation. It was Tom Ackerman. Tom Ackerman and I had a conversation about this. I believe it was on Wednesday during the Gas House game, where different things during this reset for the Cardinals are going to start impacting things at different times. We all know that this is not a flip the light switch sort of thing that the Cardinals are trying to do, but it's more complicated than that. Because, yeah, there's going to be an impact this year. They're bringing in a lot of really, really smart people, kind of like Rob Serfolio, who we talked to yesterday. They're bringing in a lot of really smart people. And they're going to start looking at the game a little bit different way in different ways. And just doing that is going to have an impact on the Major League team and the organization as a whole, starting essentially immediately. Now, when it comes to the different tech and the different equipment that they want to install at the spring training complex, well, they can't even put shovels into the ground until spring training ends. So the impact of that is not going to be felt until, you know, 2026 and beyond. The instruction that players are going to receive in the minor leagues, the much better instruction, that's going to be somewhat tapered as the longer players are in the minor league system getting better instruction and being given more tools to succeed, it's going to impact them more and more. So different things are going to kind of, for lack of a better term, I'm going to use the word arrive. Different things are going to arrive for the Cardinals at the major league level at different times. Eventually, you would like to be known as an organization that develops high-end pitching, that drafts and develops and supports and sustains high-end pitching. Be that organization that's known that when a guy gets to the big leagues, he is going to be the closest thing possible to the best version of who he can be, in part because the organization is going to enable him to be able to do that. And that's not something that they have been recently. They have previously, but they have not been that recently. So how long does it take for that to really come into place? I think that's the last one to arrive. I think that takes the longest because what has to happen is you have to develop pitchers. They have to get to the big leagues. They have to have success. They have to continue that success. They have to have a track record, and you have to have a bunch of those guys, and then all of a sudden, you start having one of the reputations out there as a team that's just great at developing pitching. But that takes a while. I mean, we're honestly 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Like that's a long, you got to have a bunch of guys get to the big leagues and then have sustained success at the big leagues. So that's way down the road for them to be able to gain that reputation back. But at some point in time, you get that reputation again. And then if you got somebody like Roky Sasaki, who, if his agent doesn't lie to everybody when saying that he wants to go to the place that is going to make him the best possible pitcher, then you're in position for that. You know, that was the reason that, again, not so much the Cardinals, but if you were the Cleveland Guardians, if you were the Tampa Bay Rays, if you were these really, really smart organizations in smaller markets that have a track record, those teams have a track record in developing pitching. And the Milwaukee Brewers are another one. If you are one of these teams and Joel Wolf goes out there and says, hey, you know what? My guy, he doesn't have to go to a big market. He has to go to a place where he's comfortable. He's kind of a quiet guy as it is. You know, he just go to a place where he's comfortable, where it's friendly, and where the organization is going to give him every single opportunity to succeed. You're going to say that as his agent, and all these teams are going to start salivating over the possibility of adding a super high-end talent. And then what happens? Dude signs with the Dodgers, and again, he's not making that much money. I've already seen some things out there on social media about, well, this is the reason Major League Baseball needs a salary cap. No, you can make that argument when Juan Soto signs his deal. You can't make that argument on this one. This has absolutely nothing to do with spending money. The Dodgers are completely restricted on how much they can pay him from an annual standpoint. He's not even arbitration eligible for a few years. They're very restricted in the signing bonus that they can give because it's all connected to the international signing. Like this is not a money issue. It's not. Some people are going to look at it as a money issue. This is not a money issue. And Sasaki profiles out. I mean, his numbers in Japan. 29-15, 2.10 ERA. The dude struck out 11.5 per game. Kyle Sixt is in studio with us. And strikeout, you know, in the United States in Major League Baseball, it's all about strikeouts. When you're playing overseas, like that's the style of baseball that they play there. It's not so much about strikeouts, and this dude is still striking out 11.5 per nine innings.
Yeah, it's super impressive, and we saw him in the World Baseball Classic pitching for Team Japan with Shohei Ohtani, and he was mowing down the best hitters in the MLB. It was unbelievable to watch, and I'm sure he's a couple years better now, and yeah, he's going to be really good, striking out a ton.
Yeah, just so, man, he is really good, and he makes the Dodgers. Like, they're just going to be that much more. I assume they're the World Series favorite. I'll look. How could they not be?
They have to be.
Yeah, like, I'll look at this. Hold on. Well, let's look at World Series odds, because maybe they've even gotten more extreme. Because he's going to be, we were talking about this earlier, he's essentially the Dodgers' fifth starter, and he would probably be the number one starter on 10 to 15 teams across Major League Baseball.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you got Glass now, you have Snell, who they just signed, you have Otani coming back, and you have Yamamoto, and he slides in as their five. It's just crazy.
The Dodgers are overwhelming favorites to win the World Series in 2025. They pay out at plus 310. So essentially, gambling terminology, basically, if you bet $3.10 and they win the World Series, you get a buck back. So it's not a very good bet. No, reverse that. If you spend a buck, you get $3.10 back. If it was -310, it'd be what I just said. But +310, still not a great bet, but +310. So a dollar bet would get you $3.10 back. But to put that in perspective, the Yankees have the second best odds, and they pay out at +750. So essentially, the Dodgers' odds to win the World Series are more than twice that of the New York Yankees. The Atlanta Braves pay at +850. Phillies, Mets pay out at +1,000. The Cardinals, by the way, are at +12,000. So if you think the Cardinals are going to win the World Series this year, go put a bet down, I guess, on them. The White Sox and the Rockies, by the way, have the worst odds to win the World Series. They each pay out at +$50,000, and then the Miami Marlins pay out at +$40,000. But the Cardinals are down on the list. The only teams that have worse odds than the Cardinals to win the World Series are the Angels, Pirates, A's, Nationals, Marlins, Rockies, and White Sox. As far as the NL Central goes, the Cubs are the favorite right now to win the NL Central. They pay at +110. Brewers have second best odds at +240, Reds +500, Pirates +900, Cardinals +900. So the Cardinals and Pirates have identical odds to win the division, but the Cardinals do have slightly better odds than the Pirates to win the World Series. But yeah, the rich get richer. And again, that's not a money thing when it comes to Sasaki. It's just the Dodgers on paper are the best team in baseball, and they just added another really, really, really good piece. And it's one of the few situations where it's a really, really, really good piece that could have gone to any team because of the financials. And all those teams were given hope. And then hope just got wiped away today as he heads to the Dodgers. We'll take a break, come back, have more coming up in just a moment. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. Coming up in our next hour, we are going to be joined by Michael Hall from the Cardinals, Executive Director of Cardinals Care. It's a big weekend coming up with winter warm-up. It starts first thing tomorrow, where we'll be broadcasting live from there beginning at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's also a big weekend with Cardinal Caravan. That is already underway as the caravans either go out Friday, Saturday, or go out Sunday, Monday. So four of the six caravans are in their respective locations right now. And then the baseball writers dinner going on this weekend as well. So really a great baseball weekend. And it's going to be interesting to hear what the talking points are coming out of this, because everybody's going to speak. John Mozeliak is going to speak. The DeWitts are going to speak. Rob Serfolio is going to be part of a panel. All the players are going to be just everybody's going to speak. And this offseason has clearly not gone the direction that the Cardinals wanted it to go. It all started with the ability to trade Nolan Arenado. They haven't done it yet. Now, as Mo reminded Mike Claiborne and myself when we had him on the Countdown show last week, there's still a lot of time until pitchers and catchers report. There's still interest in Arenado. And I think the thing that I need to continue to remind myself, in addition to reminding others, but I need to be reminded of it as much as anybody. When this whole thing started going down and we knew that the Cardinals were going to trade Arenado, we said, like, if you were to go back, if you went to the Cardinals Conversations or the Sports Open Line podcast page, and you went and found me talking about this situation at the winter meetings, what did I say? Well, Cardinals are probably going to have to wait for this Alex Bregman situation to kind of figure itself out before they really know what's going to happen with Nolan Arenado. It's still true, and Bregman still is not signed. I thought this was going to be the year where some of the top-level free agents, not some, most of the top-level free agents got their deals done earlier. Because we saw what happened last year, and we saw, like, you know, the Jordan Montgomery situation and some other, you know, other guys who end up signing late. And that's an uncomfortable situation for players. It just is. They want to know where they're going to be going to spring training. Like, they are human beings, and human beings want to know where their spring training site's going to be so they can get their housing taken care of, and they can get the other logistics taken care of, and they can figure out when their wives and kids can be with them in either Florida or Arizona, whatever it might be. Like, it is not a great situation where you are less than a month out from pitchers and catchers reporting, and players don't know yet where they're going to be. And if you're a middle-level player, if you're a low-level player, that's just kind of part of the situation. You got to wait on some other things to happen before you get yours. But if you're one of the top free agents out there, and there are Alex Bregman's out there, Pete Alonso's out there, Jack Flaherty's out there, like, there's a lot of guys who are still out there. And Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about Jack Flaherty earlier, because he tweeted out a GIF earlier today, I think it was, where it's, if you want to read into it a little bit, it certainly makes him look like he's getting frustrated with the fact that he doesn't have a deal done quite yet. He tweeted out, I don't even know, what's this? It's a Hulu show. Something Boy. Kyle, are you able to help me out on this one? This is where I show the sound like a super old guy. It's a GIF from some Hulu show, and the name of the show is Something Boy, Mo Something Boy.
I have no idea. I'll look it up right now. I'm looking.
We'll see. So it's a guy sitting down, and he looks at his watch. So that's, I think the idea there is that he's waiting for something to happen. And you would think that, do you know? Are you?
No, I was going to say I have no clue, but okay. I think that's what.
You know what? Thank you. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Thank you.
I have
thank
no idea.
You for not knowing a reference that I also do not know. As somebody who every single day as I go through life, I feel older and older and older. Thank you, 22-year-old Kyle Sixta, for not knowing something that I also do not know. You just made my day. But yeah, I mean, look, at some point, these players, they got to take control of these situations. And I get, like, let's talk about Jack Flaherty for just a second. He took the one-year deal last year saying, this is going to be my bet on myself deal, and then I'm going to go get a multi-year deal a year from now. So what happens? He takes the one-year deal. He pitches great. He had a really, really good season. Detroit really helped him out. He goes to L.A., wins a World Series. Like, he does all these things. He wasn't perfect. He still gives you a clunker every once in a while. We get it. But the overall body of work for Jack Flaherty in 2024 was fantastic. And in an offseason where Matthew Boyd and Frankie Montas and Luis Severino are all getting paid, Jack Flaherty's just sitting out there, probably saying to himself, I did the one-year deal thing last year. I don't want to do that again this year. I did it last year. And it results in him posting GIFs from Hulu shows that I don't know what they are. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into our second and final hour for the night, Michael Hall from Cardinals Care and Winter Warmest is going to join us in just a little bit. Kevin Wheeler will join us after that. We'll talk baseball with him. I have to go non-sports for a second because the great Maria Kina just did a newscast. And Maria, this is not a criticism of you. But one of the words that were used was what was the storm called?
Atypical.
Atypical. Yes. That's what I was trying to. I couldn't remember it for 30 seconds. Atypical. Now that is the. Those are the words of our leaders in city government. This was not an atypical storm. Like, it may not happen in St. Louis as often as it used to because, like the climate just seems to be a little bit different. But this was not an atypical storm.
No. And I've also heard figures thrown out there that St. Louis, the city, received 10 inches of snow.
No.
That is inaccurate.
No.
The city did not receive 10 inches of snow.
Like, this is wild.
And as a city resident.
And I'm not a city resident. I'm a county resident.
And I could tell you that it's. You take your life in your hands when you drive down these streets, the side streets, that is, when you're trying to get to your house, because they've been pure glass. It's like an ice skating rink, and there have really been, you can't walk the dogs, you can't take the trash out, you can't do any of that, because it's just so dangerous.
You know what's really, I talked about this the other day, and I know this is a sports show, but it's, I like to look at things from a very logical, common sense sort of way. It is so dumb. So I live in Chesterfield. Within probably a half mile of my home, there are roads that are maintained by the city of Chesterfield, roads that are maintained by the St. Louis County, and roads that are maintained by the state of Missouri. So we literally have snow plows passing other snow plows with their frickin' plows up because that's not their road. So there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
There has to be a better way and a more an easy way. And by the way, shout out to the city of Chesterfield because all the roads that they were actually responsible for were taken care of.
Clear.
Now, I said that and somebody's like, well, this road in Chesterfield was terrible. Yeah, that's because that was a county road or that's because it was a state road. Now, out there now, where the state folks and the county folks seemingly got their heads out of their you-know-whats and eventually got stuff taken care of. It's much better than what's going on in the city. But this was a horrific response from St. Louis City, from St. Louis County, and the state, and I just don't understand it.
The thing that always amazes me is when they say, we're not going to pre-treat. Now, notice you didn't hear any complaints coming out from Illinois.
No.
Illinois pre-treated.
Yeah.
Now, I know they like to say over here, oh, well, you know, it'll get washed away. Well, we pretty much didn't have rain. It pretty much came down from the beginning as some type of frozen precipitation. So I think pre-treating would have eliminated a lot of what we saw because of the buildup that we saw then.
Go put salt down on your driveway on half of it and not the other half.
Exactly.
And watch what the driveway looks like after.
Absolutely.
It's going to be completely different. I love living in St. Louis. One of the best things that happened to me in my life was when I got the chance to move back home. Very rarely do I say anything in Wisconsin is better than what's here. This is one of the few times. This would never happen in Wisconsin.
They know how to handle it. Yeah,
yeah. They're on it. They pre-treat. They're out there as the storm is happening. And if there is a storm that ends at 1 o'clock in the morning, the roads are fine at 6 a.m.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Hours and hours went by.
Yeah.
When there was no cleaning going on. And that pretty much amazed me, especially on the state roads and the highways. When you couldn't get on the highway and there was like one little lane with a few little, you know, tracks that were on it, that was terrifying.
So I get off on Chesterfield Parkway on 40 going west, and they create like this tiny little gap of the snow. So like when you're driving at night, you're going slow. Where is it?
Exactly.
You got to go like 20 miles per hour to be able to find the spot that you want to go through.
You do, and then it's scary because you can't see.
No, you can't see a thing. All right. Thank you for letting me continue to go off.
Just remember, atypical.
Atypical. It was an it was just a standard winter storm, but no, it's a, let's call this thing atypical. Thanks, Maria.
All right,
it's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to be with you. I mentioned earlier that I was looking for, if you heard my conversation with Rob Serfolio yesterday, I was looking for, you know, comments on it. I was just interested in what people thought. Because again, if you didn't hear it, Cardinals Conversations, KMOX.com. Go to the podcast feed or if you're on the Odyssey app, do a search for Cardinals Conversations and find the Countdown to Opening Day show from yesterday. Because I think we need to know the direction that the Cardinals are going, and I think we learned a little bit about that based off what Serfolio said yesterday. Some of the some of the messages that I got after saying that earlier. I said, is the new GM going to be here for 5 years? So I assume you're talking about Chaim Bloom, who's going to take over as the president of baseball operations, not Rob Serfolio, who has an assistant general manager title. I wouldn't be, you know, so previously, and we get, this is one of the things that kind of annoys me sometimes. We got to be less worried about titles and more worried about responsibilities. That's something a lot when we would talk about Mike Gersh when he had the general manager position. The way things have worked in baseball is basically another layer of like management has been added, and that's the president of baseball operations. So the general manager doesn't have the final baseball say in organizations like the Cardinals that have a president of baseball operations. So people would always get upset about Mike Gersh being the GM, but not really doing a whole lot that we knew of publicly. He did a lot. That's not me saying he didn't do a lot. That's just saying he didn't have final baseball authority. So you just got to look at the responsibilities of people. And what Mike Gersh was previously doing is what an assistant general manager would have been doing 15 years ago when the general manager was the final baseball decision maker. But because the Cardinals have a president of baseball operations title, like now most teams in baseball, the general manager doesn't have that final baseball say. So when you say the new GM going to be here for 5 years, I'm going to assume that you're asking about Chaim Bloom, who's going to be taking over as the president of baseball operations. And yeah, I think, look, the Cardinals have a reputation of having a final baseball decision maker coming in and staying there for a pretty significant amount of time. Now, John Mozeliak is the second longest tenured final baseball decision maker in baseball. But even if you look beyond that, if you look at, you know, Walt Jocketty had a very long run before they moved on from him. I think that is a position that the Cardinals want a lot of stability with. And I don't remember. I feel they announced the length of contract for Bloom. I think it was a 5-year deal. I don't know for sure. I think it was a 5-year deal that they announced that doesn't go into effect until he starts the job next year. But my prediction would be that Chaim Bloom is going to be the Cardinals president of baseball operations for a very long time, for a very, very long time. Now we'll see what he does inside, because right now the Cardinals don't have a GM. Like, that's part of John Mozeliak basically retook that title. I think from a very technical standpoint, he might be president of baseball operations and general manager. But the Cardinals really technically don't have a GM right now. They just have a president of baseball operations. We'll see. They could have named Chaim Bloom as the GM if they wanted to, with him taking over as the president of baseball operations next year. Instead, they kept his title as a special advisor to John Mozeliak for this year as he works on the reset. And then he'll come in. When he comes in, we'll see if they name a general manager. Someone like Rob Serfolio could end up being, you know, right now he's got the assistant GM title for player development and performance. It wouldn't shock me. He's gonna have an impact on the big league team. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. There are certainly parts of his job that extend well beyond player development and the minor leagues and things like that. There is going to be an impact because part of what he is doing is the things that are being instilled at the minor leagues need to be used in the major leagues as well. And I think Rob is going to have a big part in doing some of those things. So it would not be shocking to me if Serfolio got promoted to general manager, but basically his responsibilities kind of stayed the same. Another text message to Cardinals fans: support the general manager and waiting again. I assume you're talking about Chaim Bloom. I think so. I haven't heard anybody complain. The only time you get a complaint about Bloom is, oh, well, that's the guy who traded Mookie Betts for nothing in Boston. That's a terrible take, by the way. It's a terrible take because it shows a lack of understanding of the situation. Ownership told him, hey, you got to trade Mookie Betts. Oh, yeah, and you got to get out from underneath the contract of David Price all at the same time. So go have fun with that. They set him up to fail. And then when things didn't go so well for him, the horrible ownership in Boston decided to pull the rug out from underneath Bloom and sack him and he lost his job. I can tell you he's in a much better situation right now. So, yeah, that's the only complaint you ever hear about him is the fact that he's the guy who traded Mookie Betts. But I think most people who understand even a little bit of that situation understand that it wasn't really fair to him. Michael Hall, Executive Director of Cardinals Care, talks with us next about winter warm-up here on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is the Vice President of Community Relations with the Cardinals and also the Executive Director of Cardinals Care. A huge weekend for Cardinals Care coming up. Michael Hall is joining us right now. Michael, thanks for taking some time on a very, very busy day. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How are the final preparations going for winter warm-up, which gets rolling tomorrow morning at Ballpark Village and Busch Stadium?
They're going well. We're dotting our I's and crossing T's here at the ballpark. Several of our facilities and several of our clubs get rearranged and redecorated for the winter warm-up, and we're finishing up those final touches, and we'll be ready tomorrow morning.
What kind of lead time does it take to get everything ready? How long have you guys been physically working on getting all these spaces ready?
Yeah, so we started physically working on them at the very beginning of the week on Monday. We did do some things last week, but it's difficult depending on the schedule because there are other groups that rent out some of the spaces in the ballpark. So we're mindful of our other fans that use the different spaces. Our special events group is fantastic, and they do a wonderful job of not only scheduling outside groups, if you will, but also taking care of the internal needs also. So we started really moving things in on Monday.
I like to remind folks that it is a fundraiser for Cardinals Care, and Cardinals Care does amazing work throughout St. Louis and throughout the Cardinals Nation footprint. But that being said, this year a bit of a change because there are some free areas as well, some things going on at Ballpark Village and the main stage. You're not going to need that ticket. That's a little bit of a different way to take in winter warm-up this year.
Yeah, that is something new for this year. So in the past couple years that we've had winter warm up on our campus, you did need an admission ticket to get into Ballpark Village. And this year you do not. We wanted to try to see what it would be like just to be able to open it up to the general public for fans that maybe have not had an opportunity to experience winter warm up. Give them an opportunity to come down and see what it's like. They'll be able to see the content from the main stage for free, as well as we'll be piping video and sound throughout Ballpark Village for some of the other things that are happening within the ballpark. And if you're down here and you decide you want to get an autograph ticket for someone who may still have autograph tickets available, you'll be able to buy an admission ticket at the ticket office and come on into the ballpark and enjoy the festivities in the park as well.
It's probably a stupid thing to be impressed by, but I'm always impressed. You mentioned the TV monitors. There's so much going on at any given moment. The fact that you guys are able to constantly be moving from one spot to another spot and doing so many things on the monitors, basically, that's almost a show of its own, just getting that together. Whoever directs that and everything, it's an impressive feat for sure.
No, we got to give a shout out to our production crew and Tony Simakaitis. He's the quarterback of that. He does an amazing job. He's got really talented and smart people that work with him. And, you know, that's the one of the big advantages of having it on our campus, if you will, is our ability to put on that show, to be able to utilize our assets and utilize the production team to be able to get all of the different spaces and all the different areas that we use throughout the ballpark to be able to put those up on screen for fans to be able to see what's happening maybe in an area that they're not able to visit at that time. So, I appreciate you mentioning that. Our production team does a great job.
So one of the things the fans are most interested in is the opportunity to get the autographs. And there are some autograph tickets that are sold out, but a good number of them, tickets do remain available. And you guys got a late addition and a pretty big one in Sonny Gray, who's going to be signing on Saturday. There are still tickets available for Sonny in addition to a lot of other people.
Yes. No, thanks for mentioning that. We do have some of our players that are sold out. But yes, Sonny was a late addition. He will be here Saturday, tomorrow, signing from one to three. You know, the best way to understand or get an idea of what is available is I encourage fans to go to the website cardinals.com/WWU, and it'll bring up the list of players that are signing, current roster, alumni, as well. And, it'll give you an idea of who's available and who's not. The other thing that is new for this year is our red jacket photos that, Ray Lankford, Vince Coleman, and Ozzie Smith were coming. They'll be at the warm-up this year, and they'll be taking photos with fans in their Cardinals Hall of Fame red jackets. And so that's new for this year and an opportunity for fans. And some of those tickets, there's a limited number, but some of those are still available as well.
What does it mean to you as a representative of Cardinals Care that so many folks are, you know, whether it's Sonny Gray making the late decision to be involved, or whether it's, you know, a Hall of Famer like Ozzie Smith giving away of his time, so many people are so willing to be involved in something that obviously has a very big positive impact.
Yeah, it's really special to be a part of this organization and to be a part of the foundation as well, Cardinals Care. And the winter warm-up is, I don't know how to just, it's a unique thing in that, you know, you got to remember our current roster, this is their off time. They're, you know, they're on their vacations and doing what they do on the off season. And to get them, the majority of them to come in for this event for the weekend. We also have the caravan going on this weekend where current roster play, some of the current players, some of the alumni participate in that all weekend as well. I think it's neat to know how the players recognize how important this event is for the organization and for the foundation, and they show that by their participation and by showing up.
All the details available, cardinals.com/WWU. Again, you don't have to buy a ticket to get to the main stage activities at Ballpark Village. Enjoy yourself there, but certainly autograph tickets are still available. Some other things available. You can get into the Hall of Fame and Museum. You can get the clubhouse tour. All of that is part of the ticket that you buy, so lots of reasons to certainly purchase that ticket. Michael Hall, Vice President of Community Relations for the Cardinals, Executive Director of Cardinals Care. It is a very busy time for you. Thanks so much for taking the time, and we'll see you out there this weekend.
My pleasure, Matt. Thanks for the support.
That's Michael Hall joining us here on the program. And yeah, check out Winter Warm-Up for sure. It's always a great weekend, and we appreciate Michael taking a few moments with us. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we have our weekly Friday conversation with our guy, Kevin Wheeler. We'll go through the week's worth of news when it comes to the Cardinals and much more. That's up next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Welcome back in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, starting to wrap things up here for a Friday evening into the final hour. But we can never get out of here on Friday without talking to our good friend Kevin Wheeler. You hear him on the Dave Glover Show. He used to host this show. You hear him other places as well. Of course, he's part of the Gas House Gang that we do every weekday at 12 noon on our social media channels and replay most nights at 8 o'clock here on KMOX. Wheels, good to see you.
Good. You made it sound like I'm holding you hostage, though.
I did.
Like, you can't get out of here.
I can't. I'm just stuck. No. I always enjoy these conversations. A lot to get into. I wanted to start with just a little bit of reflection over what we had yesterday during these 2 hours where we had Rob Serfolio on it. And folks can go back and listen for themselves. And there were some really important things said, more than like the content of what he said. And Bernie Miklas and I talked about this today on the Gas House Gang. I think it's somewhat refreshing to just hear a different voice representing the Cardinals.
Yeah, I agree. It's part of the reason why, you know, I've been harping on, we want to hear from Chaim Bloom once in a while. Not all the time, and he doesn't have to transition to that. And I understand, you know, maybe he just wants to lay back until he's the guy, which is understandable. It's all good. But I think fans are craving that. Like, let's hear the new voices, the people that we're banking our hopes on in the future, right? I mean, that's because that's what it is. And, you know, when you hear a new guy, it strikes you in a couple of ways, right? When you hear a guy like Rob Serfolio, eventually we'll hear more from Chaim Bloom. But when you hear a guy like Rob Serfolio speak, and I didn't hear the whole conversation you guys had, but I heard, I think, 4 minutes, 5 minutes of it. But what's interesting, and the first thing that jumped to my mind was, it's interesting hearing voices that haven't been here.
Yes.
Because the Cardinals have been very, it's partly, like, I want to pay this as a compliment and a criticism at the same time, right? Like, they're really good at rewarding good employees and giving people the opportunity to move forward, which is partly how you keep good people when they think that they can have a job and, like, you know, they think they can climb and move up. Everybody wants that. So I think their intentions have been good with that. But at the same time, you're still getting people from the same messaging platform, right? The same line of thinking. And they've needed this infusion of ideas coming in from other places to join with, not to replace the old ideas, but to add those two together. So when you're thinking about growing a franchise, especially baseball with terminology changing and the science changing, you got to get people from different philosophies and then you do addition. You don't need to subtract anything. You add to what you have.
Yeah, that's, and when I say it's good to hear another voice, that may have sounded like a criticism of John Mozeliak.
No.
It's not.
Although, I mean, look, Mo's even joked that fans are tired of his voice. Like, it's not us that's tired of it. It's people because it's not, and it's not because there's anything wrong with Mo. Mo's been an elite executive for a long time, whether people like to hear that or not. He has been an elite executive for a long time and highly viewed amongst his peers. But even Tony La Russa would tell us, at some point, people get tired of hearing just the same voice.
Right.
And that's, there's no difference there to me between those two ideas.
And you hear somebody like Cerfolio and he talks, he values different things.
Right.
And so that's the things that he's going to be passionate about and talk about. Very engaging, super smart guy. I was struck by, I think he's got some old school in him. Yeah, he talked about scouts, and he said the great thing about data is now scouts can see something, and we can back that up with the data.
You cross-check.
Right.
Right.
So that it's not a scout, because some new age baseball people are trying to throw scouts out the door.
Yeah.
That's not what Rob Cerfolio is trying to do. Playing the game the right way. John Stuper, a former Cardinal, was his coach at Yale.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize that it was the Cardinal way, but he was taught the Cardinal way.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
When he was at Yale. So there was just his holistic approach too. And I know some people are going to roll their eyes when I talk about this, but he wants to create player plans, individual player plans for every single player in the organization. That's not just from a physical standpoint, but from an emotional standpoint, everything that a person is as a ball player and beyond, on the field, off the field, and find a way to go into that and make them a better ball player.
It's the most common sense thing in the world. And, you know, for people that get pushback, like, well, we don't need special treatment. It's not special treatment. It's called teaching to the talent or teaching to the ability. And Tony La Russa, I go back to him a lot because, you know, we know what he was, right? He's one of the greatest managers ever. He's an old school mind, but he was always an advanced thinker in an old school world. And he would use that phrase, men, not machines.
Right.
They're men, not machines. They're not people. You don't just say, go do this and expect every guy to receive the same information the same way. You know, everybody's brain is a little different. Some guys don't mind stressful situations. Other guys maybe think too much. And knowing all of that can inform how you instruct someone and then what direction you take them. It could be the difference between saying this guy's a starter and this guy's a reliever, or this guy, you know what? He struggles to hit when he's struggling defensively, so we're going to move him off of third into left field because then he can think less and he'll hit better. Like, all of these things are super common sense. People just don't like the terminology and they don't like the discussion of it, but if you put it in old school terms, it makes sense.
One thing I know you'll be interested in. So when I talked to John Mozeliak 2 weeks ago on the show, I brought up the minor league starting pitchers leading all of baseball in length per start. And he said, he talked about it, but then he said, you know, things are going to change when Heim comes in. Not all the philosophies are going to stay the same.
Right.
And it felt like to me he was saying this might not be a thing the Cardinals keep doing. So I asked Rob about it, and he didn't totally go in and say, yeah, that's something that we intend to do. But he said the number one thing that you can do is create starting pitching out of your player development
system. Thank you.
That's the number one thing that you can do to help win games. And so I got the sense that he was very happy that the Cardinals did have that going.
Yeah, and I think that's an industry-wide sentiment right now, too, is trying to put some emphasis back on pitchers logging innings.
Yeah.
starting pitchers logging innings. You can do the crazy bullpenning stuff in the postseason pretty well. You can do it for maybe a month or two at a time. Like the Detroit did it last year for a couple of months. Right. You did it. They did it from basically the trade deadline until the end of their playoff run. But you can't tell me they wouldn't have gotten a better result and all of that if they had kept Jack Flaherty. If they had kept an inning starter in there instead of scrambling every day. And they had an amazing run, but that stuff's not sustainable for 6 months. And the Dodgers have shown that. That's why everybody's loading up on innings. Well, what's the more efficient way to cover the innings you need to cover? Is the more efficient way to say, you know what, we got to have 8, 9, 10 starters? Because that's an expense if you're going to have, you know, proven players either in your pen or sitting at AAA or on the injured list waiting versus developing them on your own. And the most common thing with pitchers is injuries. Way more common for pitchers than position players. So if you're going to be able to cover innings cheaply with guys you're developing, like Cerfolio is talking about there, that's the path.
100%.
That's the path. So yeah, it makes sense. And by the way, on the other side of this, there has been absolutely zero evidence at all that limiting the workloads in the minor leagues is leading to fewer arm injuries.
Yeah.
It is not changing anything, so why do it?
Yeah, velo and spin rate is what lead to injuries.
Effort. Yeah. Effort. The harder you're doing things, the more likely it is that the things that hold your muscles together are going to break. We all know, and by the way, I'm not even saying stop doing those things. I'm saying, maybe you rein it in a little bit. You train to the max, but you pitch just a little below that on the regular, and you go to the max when you need it in certain spots, which is something, by the way, that Bob Gibson did. It's something that this is funny because you can circle back and maybe just reapply. This is the idea of adding ideas, right? You don't take one set of ideas and replace them with another. You add to them. So we don't need to take this idea that we're going to push for velo and we're going to push for spin rates. Well, you can't stop doing that. It works. And if you stop doing it, you're not going to get people out. Look at the guys the Cardinals have had in the rotation the last few years. They don't do any of those things, and they were getting hit around a lot more than guys that do those things. You have to do it, but you can still train guys to do it for 6 innings instead of 4.5.
Right. That's where the industry has to go.
Yeah, and it is. Like, people are figuring that out. And, you know, if anybody ever comes up with a way that can legitimately reduce these injuries, then great, we can follow it. But what's the point of reducing the injuries when you're just creating other problems in the effort and the effort's not bearing any fruit?
Right. Major League Baseball teams are never going to accept reduced results as a way to keep players on the field.
No, and you shouldn't, right? Because you got to win.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately what you're trying to do is give yourself the best chance to win as many games as you can. But I think we can argue that having starting pitchers, and it doesn't even have to be all five, if it's just three of them that can go out there and give you 180, 190, 200 innings, that actually improves your chances at winning games because now you're not taxing your bullpen. You don't have guys in the back end of the pen wearing down and breaking down at the end of the year. And you have that consistency. So, like, again, the balance of worlds is where it's going to be at. You cannot train away from velo, effort, spin because they work, but you have to accept that holding a guy to 75 pitches in the minor leagues is not going to be healthier for his arm long term than letting him go 90 or 95.
Right. Especially when you're doing it right before you can call him up because they're not right for the big leagues.
No, and they do a lot of these teams. And this is not Cardinals thing. This is everybody, most everybody, because the Cardinals are actually the one, as you pointed out, that have gone the other way on this in the last year or two. But you'll take a guy out of college who's routinely throwing 110, 115, 120 pitches a game, and he gets into the minors, and now he's throwing 75 or 80.
Right, which makes zero
sense. He's already built up.
Yeah.
Just God almighty, it's not that hard.
Yeah, if you're going to get an 18-year-old kid out of high school and you want to ramp him up, that's a completely different thing than a grown 22-year-old man walking in after pitching in the SEC.
As a guy that's worked in the youth sports world for the last 16, 17, 18, 19 years, just in St. Louis, not even counting my time in Chicago before that, there are every guy that pitches in high school is throwing 100 pitches a game in 7 innings. Every good one. Mm-hmm. All those top guys. So even then, you're taking a guy that has been training to go that distance, and you're telling him not to do it anymore. and you're holding back the development. You know, the pitching guidelines that Dr. James Andrews came up with, that good travel programs and instructors follow, is the number of pitches you should throw per outing is roughly 5 times your age, plus or minus 10.
Yeah.
So if you're 18, where does that put us?
Right around 100.
90 plus or minus 10.
Right.
So it's 80 if you're struggling and you have a heavy workload inning early. It's 100 if you're going easy and you're not having big taxing innings. That's what the doctor says is okay for an 18-year-old. And yet we got guys in the minor leagues throwing 4 innings and 72 pitches. And you're not letting them go beyond that. You're not training them to do the job that you're going to ask them to do when they get to the big leagues.
Yeah, I get the sense that it's not going to change with the Cardinals, which I think is a good thing. That's one.
Yeah, keep going that path. Yeah. And again, it's the greatest asset in the world is having a pitcher that can go get you, you know, 32 starts at 6 innings a start.
Final thing for you, and we've talked about it a lot on the station over the last couple of days, but you and I haven't done it one-on-one outside of a few minutes yesterday on Glover. But I'm just continuing to reflect on Bob Uecker's passing yesterday. And you think about the great radio broadcasters, the obviously Jack Buck, Mike Shannon, but the Ernie Harwell,
yeah,
the Harry Callises, and now Bob Uecker. I mean, there's just
Harry Carey. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that generation of broadcaster is they're going away, and we've been lucky to be able to listen to them. I was lucky enough to be in Milwaukee for many years, where I listened to Uke on a just about an everyday basis. But it hit me a little bit that he was one of the last ones in that generation. Yeah.
And it's interesting, right? Because people say they don't make them like that anymore. I don't know if we do or we don't. The problem is those guys held those jobs for so long that other people never got in there. And in the ones that did get in there, haven't been in there long enough to become that.
Right. Well, I think you have to become it, because I don't think a Bob Uecker, if he's going full on Uecker and sends a demo tape to a team, he doesn't get a job. Like,
in his case, it's obviously, you know, when you're a former player, you got a different path. But you're right.
But like, I don't think people who hire broadcasters are able to think outside the box, and they want to hear what a broadcaster is supposed to sound like, maybe not what a broadcaster is going to appeal to a fan.
Yeah, see, what I really like, and this is what I like about the Cardinals broadcast crew in general, you know, John and Rick and Claves and you, Tom Ackerman when he's in there, TV guys like Chip, and all the analysts, BT and all those guys. But what I like is, there are good mechanics, there are good play-by-play characteristics, there are good sounds, but then there's also a personality and an emotional attachment to the team that you're broadcasting.
Right.
Right? And some teams that I've listened to, and some of it is that some of the broadcasters are new to team work, but we don't want team guys to sound like national guys.
No.
National guys have to be down the middle. They have to be kind of calm, and you know, you have to kind of save it. I love the way that, you know, on the local side, just playing into that. And that's what made all of these guys popular.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made Jack Buck, Jack Buck. That's what made Bob Uecker, Bob Uecker, is that it's not just a good broadcaster. It's a good broadcaster who's a storyteller, who gets what the fans want, who is a fan, and who gets into it like they do.
100%. So sad day yesterday, but what a legacy that he leaves as
the best.
The best, yeah.
I mean, again, there's no such thing as one best, but, you know, he and Jack and Harry Carey, Mike Shannon, those guys are all in the group of the best, and they're probably all having a hell of a party right now.
They probably are. Kevin, great to see you as well. We'll see you again next
week.
Have
a good weekend. Go Lions.
All right, that's Kevin Wheeler. I'm Matt Pauly. We'll take one more break, come back, wrap things up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. This show might be over, but you are not quite rid of me. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, it is the Gas House Gang. Today's program features myself and Bernie Miklas, so make sure to be tuned in for that. We reflect on Rob Serfolio's comments that he made yesterday during countdown to opening day. We talk a little bit more about Bob Uecker. We'll get into the Blues. We'll also preview the NFL weekend, so that's all coming up during the Gas House Gang, and that's up next right here on KMOX. I also want to remind you about what's going to be going on this weekend. It is winter warm-up. This is one of the really most fun weekends of the year, and I think it's a weekend where you just kind of lock into the radio all weekend long, and you're going to hear some really, really good stuff, because we talk to, well, just about everybody over the course of the next 3 days. So coming up tomorrow, we're going to be on in the morning starting at 10 o'clock, and then we're going to roll all the way until coverage of SLU Billikens basketball. So that's going to be about 1:15. So 10 o'clock to 1:15 is when we're on from winter warm-up tomorrow. Then coming up on Sunday, Tom Ackerman's going to do sports on a Sunday morning from there, 10 to noon, and then Joe Pott's going to take over after that. He's going to be on, I believe, noon to 3, and then we're going to do some things coming up on Monday as well. Monday is also the inauguration, which we're going to be broadcasting, so there's a lot going on Monday between winter warm-up and also the inauguration that's going to be taking place. But for those of you who have never heard it, basically almost the entire team, if they are at Cardinals Care or if they're at winter warm-up over the next few days, they make a stop to our KMOX broadcast location at Cardinals Nation Restaurant, and we get the chance to sit down and talk with them. So you're going to hear a lot of interviews. News tends to come out of the weekend as well. And, yeah, so it's just it's a great weekend, and it's a chance for you to learn something, chance to get to know some players, and just a chance to do nothing but talk baseball for a few days, which is also something that's really, really good. And then just a side note, for because I know a lot of people outside of St. Louis listen to this program and listen to KMOX for sure. Cardinals Caravan going on. In fact, the caravans are already out. There are four caravans that go Friday, Saturday, and then two caravans that go Sunday, Monday. I am on a Sunday, Monday caravan. I'm going to be rolling through Marion, Illinois, Evansville, Indiana, Paducah, Kentucky, and Cape Girardeau. So that's where I'm going to be at. If you're in any of those cities, make sure to come up and say hello. We always do a program, and then the program comes to an end, and we do an autograph time for the players that are there. So come up, say hello, especially during that period, the players that I'm taking with me, Thomas Sejacy, Chris Roycroft, Kyle Leahy, and Sam Rebursa, and then also alumni Auerbosky, Kerry Robinson, going to be with me as well through those various cities. So really looking forward to that. Always enjoy talking with folks, and just a really cool weekend. So I'll have you for our winter warm-up programming tomorrow from 10 to 1:15, and then I'm out on a caravan after that, and hopefully I get to meet some folks who listen to this program and love the Cardinals. And it's just a really good weekend. It's something that this weekend is somewhat unique to the Cardinals. There's teams that do off-season conventions. Some have gone away, so the Cardinals are not the only team that does that, but just the scope of everything that takes place, and that doesn't even mention the Baseball Writers Dinner, which is taking place this weekend as well, which they've had a run on tickets here recently, which is really, really good. It's important that this dinner continues to take place. It and the big one in New York are the only Baseball Writers Dinners that even exist anymore, so if you're thinking about going, go support it, and it's something that's special about the fabric of the baseball community inside of St. Louis. All right, thanks for being tuned in tonight. Have a wonderful weekend. Hopefully I see you at some point in time with winter warm-up or the caravan, and we'll be back. I'm not quite sure who's going to be hosting for me on Monday. I'll be out in the caravan, but I'll be back with you coming up on Tuesday, I believe, for our next full program. But have a wonderful weekend. Get out to winter warm-up, and we'll talk to you again real soon. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.